to Romans chapter 8. Tonight we want to look at the topic, a time of restoration. A time of restoration. How many of you perhaps have lost some things in your life that you want recovered? Well, this is your time of restoration. I said, this is your time of restoration. You're in a season now that God's going to restore to you the years that the cankerworm has taken away. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word tonight and thank you for the anointing on me, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start reading at Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until when? Until right now. So we're calling this a time of restoration. And you see that all through the Bible. And you see God restoring some things, restoring a loved one that had died in the Old Testament, and the woman's son that she got because of the word of the prophet. And when he was out on the field with his dad, and he was in the field working. And the son said, my head, my head. And he came in to his mother. His dad brought him to his mother. You know how dads do. And brought him to his mother. And as a result of that, he laid on the head of his mother's lap and died. Well, the mother went and said, she put on her clothes and said, she's going to see the man of God, because this was given to her as a promise from God. And I'm saying a lot of things God has promised you that the devil has tried to take away. But this is your time of restoration. So what happened is the man of God saw her coming. He sent his servant out there. He said, go, there's yonder come the Shunammite woman. Ask her, is it well with her? Or is it well with her husband? Is it well with her child? And he asked her that, and what do you think she said? All is well. Say that with me. All is well. Praise God. That's a word of confession. And so as a result of that, the man of God could go to the house and raise up her son. So he was restored. And also you have a time of restoration where you have Job. Job, as you know, had a severe loss. He lost his family, lost his children, lost his job, lost his businesses, lost everything, his wealth. And here he was. He said, hey, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, at that point, Job hadn't read the back of the book. He didn't know that Satan was a culprit that had come to take things away from people that God had given them. And so as a result of that, the things went on, and Job found out. He said, Lord, show me where I've erred, and so forth. And then in chapter 42 of Job, the Bible says God restored Job twicefold what he had before. So it tells me that God not just brings it back up to where it was before, but he's going to double it for you. He's, amen. So he is going to make it better than it ever was for you at the first. So we see all of that. And the biggest example of restoration, of course, is when mankind was restored back to the Father. And I think that's a powerful thing. But it's a time of restoration. And we have to think in terms of that, that when you got born again, the Bible says Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. And so we want to look at this particular scripture in Romans chapter 8, talking about manifesting the sons of God and that we're joint heirs with him. And let's go over to Joel, please. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Now, all this is Bible, so it's all good. Amen. It's all good. I know in my life, not only will he restore you, but he'll have you to forget. Come on now. You know, it amazes me when a woman has a child, a baby, childbirth. And it amazes me on that because I know that I can't do that. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
All right. And my point to you is that she goes through quite a bit in childbirth. Am I right about it? But isn't it amazing that she gets pregnant again? So God will take away the bad part of the first experience. So I'm saying that with us, that not only will God restore things in your life, but he'll take away the pain of that experience that you had. Say amen to that. Take away the pain of that experience. Look what it says in Joel chapter 2 and verse 21. Fear not, O land, and be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. And be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent or allowed among you. And you shall eat plenty and be satisfied. Somebody say plenty.
Plenty.
No, say it like this. Plenty.
Plenty.
And be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So it's a time of restoration. And when you're talking about that, you're talking about restoring things that has happened perhaps in your life or whatever have you. But we can go a step further than that in terms of restoration. Let's not just talk about restoring your life and the things that have happened to you, but how about if we go all the way back to the Garden of Eden and talk about restoring of humanity, restoring the things that humanity lost in the garden and restoring those things to us right now. Well, when we get in that, that really is what this redemption is all about. It's not about, and Jesus came preaching the kingdom, not about things that we did wrong, but about the things that Satan stole and Jesus recovered. And he's saying here that he's recovered some things for us. The Bible calls Jesus the last Adam. So he was actually giving you an idea of how Adam functioned in the beginning. Now, this is in the beginning before the fall. And if you will, let's turn back there to Adam, because We need to see this garden experience. Donald Lawrence had written a song, "Let's Get Back to Eden and Live on Top of the World." Hallelujah. I know that's right, because I'm on top and not under the bottom. So if we look at Genesis chapter 1, basically we can see here that this is mankind before the fall. And it said in verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. The image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, what? Be fruitful, keep going, multiply, keep going, replenish the earth, and do what else? And subdue it, and keep this earth under. So basically what we're saying here is that God gave dominion of this earth over to a man. Now, when we say this dominion, we're talking about rulership. We're talking about caretakership. We're talking about lordship. We're talking about even ownership. We're saying even stewardship. So God gave mankind stewardship over this earth, and basically, mankind was the vessel that God must use now, because he said that if God is to do anything in the earth, he's got to now come through a person, a man. And so in this, here's Adam has got it, and he's got his mission. His mission is to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, to make sure you keep everything in this earth under. So Adam now has responsibility for it. And God gave him one prohibition. He said, there's a tree over here, and you're not to eat of that tree, because the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, we know what happened with that, but let's go back first. When we're talking about Adam and talking about what he did, one of the things that he did was name the animals. Now, last night we had our speaker here, and he said there was something like 1.2 million species of bugs and insects and all of that. But not only did Adam name them, he remembered them. I know folk that can't even remember their social security number. Now, that person needs restoration. There's some restoration needed. Now, I'm not making fun. I'm just saying that, you know how we get into this thing, oh, I'm getting older, my mind is going bad now, you know what I mean? Well, that's your confession. That's not my confession. My confession is that my youth is renewed like the eagles, that I have the mind of Christ, a righteous mind. The memory of my mind is blessed. Got it? Now, you got to remember that, because when he's restoring this thing, he's restoring also to you your speaking. He's restoring your ability to say things. And you can't say things like, you know, it don't get no better than this. Well, if you say that, that's as best, that's as good as it's ever going to get for you. I'm not saying that. I'm saying my best days are ahead of me. Got it? So what am I saying? I'm saying, look at Adam, and you can kind of look at his life and look how Adam operated and so forth. And you can see that Adam operated just like God. The Bible says he created Adam in his image and in his likeness. God didn't speak Adam out. Adam came out of God, just like you came out of your mother. Adam came out of God. Adam was the exact duplicate kind of God. Somebody said, if you stood Adam up and stood God up, you couldn't even tell the difference between them. Now, I don't know. I said somebody said that. Didn't I say somebody said that? Okay. Well, my point to you is he was the exact duplicate of kind. He was the exact duplicate of kind, and God made him that way. God was not trying to put boundaries on Adam. God was making it so that Adam could do anything. I mean, there was nothing impossible for Adam. And when Jesus came, he came to, again, take impossibility out of our vocabulary. He said, if you can believe, come on, all things are possible. Now, I'm saying that because that's what it seems to be a central theme of the speakers that have spoken this week, because each one of them seemed to be trying to get us to leave the natural and go to the supernatural. And you are made for the supernatural. And I think one of the things that we need to do is we need to get in that word. The Bible calls the word a mirror. Talks about when we look in that word. Let's go over there. I think somebody needs to go over there. Come with me over to James, if you will. And James chapter, I don't know, James chapter something. I'm just thinking of this as I'm going along. I just want to, let's see, James, mirror of the word of God. Let's see, am I right about this? Yeah, it's chapter 1, okay. All right, look what it says in James chapter 1. He said in verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, or you can put in your Bible, a mirror. And for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So it says, if we hear the word and don't do it, we're like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway he forgets what manner of man he is. So when you read something in the word that applies to you, now understand, God created you. Am I right about it? The Bible says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, all right? So God recreated, and God created you. So he is the manufacturer, and this is the manufacturer's handbook right here. So he gives you the handbook to show you how you work. You got what I'm saying? So now you read in here, and you read how you work. The reason why is because other than that, you have been taught by a deceiving system. You have been taught by a dark system of Satan, and he's been painting a distorted image of who you are. And so now you get born again, now you get your mind renewed as to who you really are, and you come in this word and you find something. And once you look at this thing and meditate it and get it in your heart, now it forms a new image inside. Now you've got to act on this. You've got to do exactly what it says. Say amen to this. Amen. Okay, you've got to do what it says, because if you don't do it, then you'll be right back where you were again, having need of somebody teach you again. That's right. And you never seem to grow. Make one step forward, one step back, one step forward. But when you get in here and not only be a hearer of it, but a doer of the work, then something changes on the inside. And you are blessed in your deed. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, he's asking you to get in here because you just can't read it one time. But what I do is I get this word and I do something called meditate it. I take it, mull it over. I think about it. I ponder about it. I call my wife, say, baby, come here. She said, I'm busy right now. Come here anyway. I want to show you this. You know, she claims I preach to her sometimes, and she's busy. She's trying to do something. But, you know, when you got it in you, it out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth must speak. All right. Now, here's where I'm going with this. Because we're restoring some things now. So all of us come into the kingdom with ungodly thought patterns. So now we got to fix that. And the way we fix it is we got to fix it with the word of God.
Right.
Now, I won't go over there now, but Job said, if you can put one drop on something that's dead of the word of God, and the word of God will bring it alive again, because it's got resurrection power, Job chapter 14. So in this, I took this word and I began to work on myself, because Satan had put a fence in my life. And the fence wasn't outside, the fence was inside. So I couldn't go any further, not because somebody was stopping me, but because I was stopping me. Say amen to that. You're designed to go as far as your image. Your image inside is the thing, anything spiritual controls the things that are natural. And your image inside is controlling you. A lot of times we put it on people, put it on, well, if I was in America, I could do that too. No, it's not America, my friend. The Bible talks about here, he said that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. That means that has the same access to his blessing. So I don't care whether you're in Timbuktu, in China, over in Nova Scotia, down in Haiti, it doesn't make any difference. The thing that happens though, is we let what other people have done dictate what we can do. See? Now, I'm saying this because what you need to do is you need to learn to receive from God. Because if we don't, meditation gives the Holy Spirit an opportunity to paint a true image of how God sees you. Yes. See, you take that particular word and plant it in your heart and meditate on it, and meditation brings that word, has the Holy Spirit to paint it on the canvas of your heart, and you begin to see that you can do things that before you couldn't even do. I told that story when I used to think I was Superman. Well, the way that happened is I come home from school at 3:30 in the afternoon. I was brought up in Tuskegee, Alabama, and we didn't have a television, but the lady next door had one. So I knock on the door because Superman came on at 3:30. And so I would come sit at the TV, and I mean, I'd sit right up on it. I mean, it's just right in my face. And sometimes because they didn't have cable and all of that, it didn't come in clear. It was snowy on the screen, and I could hear voices. Hello, Clark Kent? Yeah. Sing, boom, ding. But I couldn't see it. And I'd ask her, I said, can't you get the picture clear? And she said, William, we've been turning the antenna, but it just won't come in. The weather is bad today and it won't come in. I'm telling you, I'd almost cry because I was picking up his image, see? And pretty soon I saw Kellogg's cornflakes a box, and it said, if you send this box top back with 50 cents, we'll send you a Superman shirt. Well, what did I do? I then took the box top, got 50 cents from Mama, and sent it in, and the shirt came. And I put on that shirt and turned into another man. I'm telling you now, when I put that shirt on. No, you got to hear what I'm saying now. I began to see myself different. I have pictures right now at home with me, even in the basketball team. We sat down and took some pictures of the whole team. Everybody had on a uniform, and I had on a Superman shirt. I'm telling you, I couldn't take it off. So what I did to keep me from wearing the same shirt every day, that what I did is I went and ordered 6 more shirts. So I'm saying it took over me so until now I grabbed one of those sheets and began to run around the house and watch that sheet, that mantle, you know, it flying behind me. And that wasn't good enough. She said, get out of this house with all that. So one day it just overtook me and I got up on the garage and I was gonna fly down the windows. I believe I can do this, and jump down there and hurt myself. But the Bible tells you, put on Christ. That's right. Put on Christ. That will give you supernatural abilities. You're not going to be able to solve the world's problems with natural strength. It's going to take some supernatural ability. The whole earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's waiting for people like you and me to come. Say amen to that. So what I'm saying is, you got to look in here. You got to start with this. And some people start with theology and what somebody said, and so forth and so on. That doesn't take you anywhere, because first thing, there's no faith in that.
That's right.
I said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't come by hearing Auntie say what somebody else said. It comes by the word of God. So I've got to get here in this word and let this thing get inside of me. And once it starts getting inside of me, it starts changing the image. Now my boundaries are reset. Now I can do things that I couldn't do before. God cannot work through you except to the degree that you believe. Even though he can do things, impossible things and so forth, can he do them through you? He said that. He said in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, if thou can believe. Come on, say that with me. All things are possible. Say, I'm a believer. Not a doubter. So I'm just saying, what is he doing? He's taking you back to the garden. He's making it so now you become a speaking spirit again. He's making it so now that nothing is impossible for you. And he's making it so now that you can replenish the earth. You can plant the heavens right with your mouth. Folks, do you know that you can walk around situations long enough and speak to them and just be speaking to them while you're walking around them, and pretty soon they'll start changing? I said, you can just walk around your marriage and just start speaking to it and say amen to that. And you know, people see the enemy. Well, let's look at it. Let's look at John and John chapter 7, I think it is. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Amen. Over in John chapter 7, he says this. He says in verse, John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And look at verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have what? Life in himself. And hath given him what? Authority to execute judgment also, because he is who? He is the Son of Man. See? He didn't call himself the Son of God right there. He says he's given him authority because he's the Son of Man. See, you got to have a body to have authority here. If you don't have a body, you don't have authority. Now, what was Adam responsible for? The whole earth. So Jesus came, and he came and got back what Adam lost, because Adam lost the power. He lost his provision, and he lost his position, his place as headship, and lost his place in the garden. He lost all of that. But now, God had a plan of redemption because he's coming to take it back. Now, once Adam sinned, one of the first manifestations was fear. And fear is a spirit. I said, fear is a spirit. Now, I got to say that because sometimes people, I don't know what they think it is, but fear is a spirit, and you have to deal with fear. Because fear is coming after your faith. And you need your faith if you're going to overcome the world. Am I right about that? So one of the next effects of the fall was selfishness. Selfishness. And in other words, self-defense. In other words, not really minding what happens to somebody else. I'm just concerned about me. Now, you know that's true. Turn over to Genesis, and Genesis chapter 12 with me, please. This is when God had dealt with Abraham to call Abraham. And look what happened. First of all, he called him. He said, you know, come out of your, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, into a land that I will show thee, and I'll make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be what? Blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot with him. Did he tell him to take Lot? You know, sometimes we try to take folk with us that God didn't tell us to take. And it causes us a lot of problems. But anyway, so God called him to follow him, didn't give him a brochure or anything like that. He just told him to follow him. And look what happened. And let's go all the way down in verse 8. And he removed from thence into the mountain of the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there, he builded an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. Well, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt and sojourned there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now, where God sent Abraham at first didn't look like the garden. But Abraham was supposed to use his faith and make the garden out of it. That's all right. You don't need to give me no amens. You'll get it after a while. And I'm just saying, many times God will send you somewhere and it looks ruined and burnt out. But see, you are super. You are not natural. And there are things that people can't do anything with in this world, but you're not of this world. You're in it, but not of it. Say amen to that. And one of the first things you need to do is start speaking some words over that thing. Now, I'm saying that because we went down to, you first come in Chicago, and we were at Lake of Pulaski, and we were there in a little storefront church. Now, at that time, that was the roughest crime area in Chicago. Now, I didn't know that. I might have reconsidered if I had known that, but I didn't know that when we went. And because the Lord just said, go. Now, it was rough. So what happened? We were praying one day and a lady burst in the door. Where is the pastor? I said, I'm the pastor. I need you. I said, what's happening? She said, they're selling drugs on my block. None of the kids can play. It's just a mess. And they're always there every afternoon. They start at 4 o'clock and they go way into the nighttime and none of our kids can play. And I'm just tired of it. I said, okay, get in this circle and pray with us. I'm praying now. Now, I'm praying, getting the download. I'm praying for the wisdom of God. See, because there ain't but so much in your head. If you're just counting on your head, you don't have much to work with. So I'm not trying to put you down. I'm only telling you what the truth is. Say amen to that. See, that's what happens to people. They think because they could get a PhD, they know more than the people of God. Now, you got to watch this now. There's nothing wrong with getting degrees and so forth and so on. I have a degree. But you got to understand, any knowledge without Christ is dark knowledge. It's dark knowledge. It's dark knowledge. If they could figure a way out of this, they'd figure a way out of it. You can't figure it because there ain't that much in your head. You got to consult a higher wisdom. You got to get wisdom from above. Say amen to that. So what happens now is we pray and the Lord said to me, get some oil, bless it and give it to her and tell her to pour it down the street. All right. I said, okay, hold it, hold it. I said, the Lord spoke to me. He said, get some oil and I'm going to bless it and give it to you and you pour it down the street. All right, give it here. Now, it's amazing what you'll do when you're desperate. No, am I right about that? Yeah, you'll take some foolish instructions when you're desperate. And remember now, the answer that God gave me is not coming from this kingdom. It's coming from the kingdom of God. So those kingdom of God answers are usually different from what you're used to hearing. So what happened then is I took her and she gave it all. She took that oil, went down the road and went left. About 4 or 5 days later, she came back. She said, Pastor. I said, yes, that's sister. She said, you remember me? I said, yeah, I remember you. She said, I poured that oil down the street. She went straight down the middle of the street. Now, if that didn't look crazy, I don't know what did. Now, am I right about it? I'm going to tell you something. I believe the reason why a lot of God's people have not prospered today is because you trying to look for a voice that sounds reasonable. And it's not reasonable. Well, I'm telling you now. I'm telling you, when he speaks faith, it doesn't make sense. Because if it made sense, you wouldn't need faith. So she poured it right down the middle of that street. And when she poured it down there, she came back. She said, "Pastor, guess what?" I said, "What?" She said, "They came out there for an hour and left." I said, "Did they?" She said, "They never came back." Then she came back weeks later, never came back. Now, what are we doing? We're taking charge of the earth. We're making it so that nothing is allowed in this earth unless we approve. Yes, say amen. Amen. And I'm telling you right now that because the people of God have not been taught some of these things, we have still, like he said last night or night before, thinking that we're kind of still worms in the dust, that we're just trying to hold on to God's unchanging hand until it's time for us to exit out of here. No, 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 no. He wants you to have heaven right on earth. Say amen to that. Now, I'm talking, there's a lot of things that Satan has done that has really, people have not known it because it's been resisted in the spirit. Say amen to that. I'm talking about that business deal should have been yours. Wait a minute. That contract should have come to you. I'm saying you should have had that orphanage started by now. You, your ministry, your business, I'm saying it's amazing how many things that the enemy has delayed because we have not been spiritually keen. But God is restoring the years. He's going to restore your sight. Say amen to that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, praise God, let's go over there. The devil is a liar. This is our time. And listen here. We're going to rise up in boldness because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We've got something to say about what goes on here. Come on now. See, I'm going to get there, but we got something to say about what goes on in politics. We got something to say about what goes on in the media. We got something to say about what goes on in some of this mess that's happening in the earth. We got something to say about it. I'm talking about restoration. I'm talking about dominion. I'm talking about the power of God. I'm talking about nobody is going to stop me in my life but me. Say amen to that. Boy, you rise up in that thing right. You go home and you hear that music going on in your house. Cut that music off. I'm up in here now. Praise God. Say amen to that. We have compromised enough and bowed down enough. And well, you gotta love, brother. I am loving. Say, I remember when Jesus went in there and turned over that table. That was love. That we have got to stop this and we've got to get something more than pablum sermons. That ain't gonna make you strong. You need some meat and potatoes and some green beans. You need to know when you leave that service, I'm gonna run over a troop and leap over a wall. to that. This thing, we got to stop playing around with the enemy, making him think he's got some kind of hold on us, that we cannot exercise our authority. But Jesus said something. He said, whatever you bind. I said, whatever you. Well, if he gave me that authority, I'm about to exercise it. I'm going to bind this thing from coming into my house. Now, sit down. You know what's happening to you right now? Something is igniting on the inside of you. Your faith is on fire. Yes, sir, doctor. And backing up and so forth. We got something to say. I said, we've got something to say now. It's our time, saints of God. It's time now for the manifestation of the sons of God. Not next week, not next year, right now. We're going to manifest who God says we are. We're going to manifest what he says we have. The Bible says we own the whole thing. Now, I'm not trying to be mean or mad with people because I don't have to get mad. Because God's got my back. See, if you try to come at me, no weapon formed against me. See, I got to have faith in God. I gotta have faith in my Redeemer that he lives. Am I right about it? Man, it's time for the church to come out of this begging mentality, and I'm broke and trying to get people to just give a little bit and so forth. Folks, we should have it so that we say, what's the budget? The budget is 15 for that building is $15 million. $15 million, okay. We're going to take about 5 minutes here and we're going to get that budget. A hand goes up over here. Okay, what do you have? Oh, Pastor, I have $2.5 million. Okay, what do you have over here? Pastor, I have $3 million. What do you have over here? Pastor, I have this. And then I say, okay, that's enough. Open your Bibles now and let's go on with today's teaching. Not all this business, will you give? Lord have mercy. Y'all, no more of that. No, we're coming into a manifestation. The blessing is on our lives. And the blessing has anointed us to inherit everything that strangers have. I'm talking about we are about to see the biggest wealth conversion. I'm talking about the reservoirs of the wicked are about to be emptied into the church. And we're going to do the right thing with it. We're going to preach the gospel over here. We're going to take care of the children over here. We're going to come and take care of Haiti and rebuild it over there. We're going to go into China and do business over there. What do we need to do? Get in that Bible. Get that image changed. Because once you get that image changed, something inside of you comes alive. I said, when you get a revelation, it'll cause a revolution. I'm saying, something happened to Rosa Parks when she was sitting in the back of that bus and his hop back there and the loud engine back there. Pretty soon she said to herself, I'm not sitting back here another day. She looked in that book where it says all men are created equal. Come on now. I'm giving you the pursuit of happiness. And she said, wait a minute, I got to partake of this. I'm moving up front and just set up front. And what happened? It caused a revolution. I'm telling you, this earth don't belong to the devil or his family. It belongs to the people of the living God. And once we get a revelation that he has a thief and everything he's got has been stolen, we gonna move in and take it all. Sit down, let me just finish this. That Holy Ghost boldness, we need that today. I'm telling you now, I know we're cool. We want to be cool and debonair and suave and all that cute stuff. But sometimes you got to let your hair down. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say that. I mean, I'm talking about whatever you got on, let that down. And y'all know what I'm saying. Come on now. There ain't nothing wrong with it. If you got a weave, let it down. That's a part of your redemption. I'm gonna give you some good hair. So what am I saying? I'm just saying, come on now, we can have fun in church too. Because see, we're not gonna do anything mad. We're gonna do it with joy. I said, we're gonna do this thing with joy. And they're gonna see that we're not gonna toil for anything. We're not gonna be struggling. We're not gonna be angry. We're not gonna be mad. We're gonna be hugging one another, black, white. Guess who's coming to dinner? Pop, pop, pop. We gonna take care of business. We gonna let everybody know ain't no difference. Hey, Jew or Gentile, or man or woman, that God Christ is in us all, and we all brothers and sisters. And let me tell you something. When people see that, they say, "My Lord, my Lord." Something's different about those people.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now turn over here. I just got a little more time. Turn over here to Isaiah.
Flow. Flow, flow, flow.
Tell her, you look in the book and you see who you are. You're going to want to get up on the top of the garage and say, "Hey, window, here I come." You got to see who you are, because you've been born for the supernatural. You've been born to call things that be not as though they were. You've been born to cast out devils. You've been born to lay hands on the sick and they, come on, recover. You've been born to raise the dead. And then a man of God came, and God gave him a revelation while he was in line at a shopping center in a grocery store. And God gave him a revelation because he said to himself, to the lady, "Money sure does go, doesn't it?" And then the Lord spoke to him and said, "What money cometh?" And then I said, "Yeah." He started preaching it all over, and now I go and I preach it myself. Because if it's going to obey my speech, I'm going to call it in. Money coming to me now. I got to call it in. Come on now. Now, you always got folks who don't like you doing that, because the devil wants to keep you down in the natural. But we are not natural, folks. We have been born again. We have the image of God, and we have the mind of Christ. That's the same mind that created the world. Are y'all with me here? Now, look at this next scripture here. This. Is somebody with me?
Yeah.
Oh, we got to wake up inside. Stir up that boldness that you have. When you was unsaved, you was bold for the devil. Now, don't come on this side and get all, Wally Cox. You get up in there and praise God. Don't back down from nothing. say amen to that. See, if we say nothing, then you can't live in this world, and if you don't go and make it better, it's gonna make you worse. Because it's not gonna stand still. So you may as well stand up and be counted. And that's what I'm willing to do. Now, I know you got people that don't believe in this way and so forth. What you got to do is don't hate. Just let them do what they want. See, I found out when I was getting that bank, then some people didn't like it. These were church folk. They're going to hate on me because I'm going to help some people buy a bank. Now, why are you going to hate on me? They don't know. It's the devil. But they can't stop me. No, let me say that again. They can't stop me. And they can't stop you. Your destiny is faith defined. As long as you walk by faith and not by sight, you will reach your destiny. Don't let nobody pull you out of faith. See, that's the only fight for the believer. Don't fight people. Don't fight denominations. Don't fight organizations. Don't fight none of that. Just fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. When they come at you, just loose a faith word on them. And then watch it work. My wife, one time we were on the north side, and apparently she went to the cleaners or something like that. The guy took my shirt or whatever, and the guy, she asked him, said, "What church do you go to?" He said, "Well, I don't go to church." She said, "You need to go to church," just like that. Amen. Well, she left. I came back a few days later, pick up my shirt. He saw me come in. I saw him see me come in, and he turned his back, and then he I said, "I just came to pick up my shirt." And he fidgeted with him, and then just plopped my shirts down on the couch. Boom! He said, "Your wife told me I need to go to church." Now what happened? She just loosed it. The Holy Spirit kept it right on it. Come on, he'll keep it right. Come on, he'll keep it right there. He'll make them go to bed with it, wake up with it, think about it when get a beer and think about it and so forth. Oh yeah, the Holy Ghost is powerful. But that's faith in God. That's what we got to go, folks. We got to take all this back. They have no business running the media. Come on, education system, we're supposed to be at the top of that mountain. All right, let's just look at this here. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Now, we're stirring something up inside of you now, because we're going to set your faith on fire. It's time now. It's time for you not to be passive anymore. What can passive people do? Man, you got to move forward. God said, "Occupy till I come." That's a military term. It means advance and hope. Advance and hope. Advance and hope. And I mean you, when you get to the end, you're going to be in good shape. Remember, what's his name? Guy who played General Patton, yeah. He said, "Now, in a war, the idea is not for you to die for your country, but to make the other man die for him." Well, we're not going that far. But what we're saying is, if all of us dead, who's gonna get the job done? Okay. How we doing? We doing okay? Say, "I'm a believer. Not a doubter." All right, look at Isaiah. What did I tell you? Isaiah, did I tell you that? I said, did I tell you that?
Yes.
Isaiah chapter 33 and look at verse 22. For the Lord is our who? Judge. The Lord is our who? Lawgiver. The Lord is our King. And He will do what to us? Save us. Now notice, the structure of our government came from the Bible. And this is a structure of our three branches of government. The judge, meaning the judicial branch, Supreme Court. The lawgiver, meaning Congress. The king, meaning the executive branch. So this is where we're taken from. But understand, God is letting you know something here. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 75, please. Over in Psalms chapter 75, he makes a statement. Verse 6, for promotion cometh neither from the east, come on, nor from the what? West, nor from the what? South, but what? God is the judge. Keep going, keep going. He'll put down one, come on. He'll set up another. So what am I telling you? If you go in acting righteous, Jesus said, if they didn't like me, they won't like you. But you don't have to be concerned about them liking you, because they're not going to promote you. Say amen to that. Now, I'm not saying you can't stay in love and be nice, but you're not concerned about whether everybody likes you or not. Because if you get off into that, you'll get off into bowing down. So I'm going to stand up and be counted. And I know that God is my judge. He's the one that's going to promote me. So if I look like I'm not being treated right, I can go to the judge. Because there are there's unjust systems out here today. And we have been sent into a world full of injustice. But we are coming to manifest the justice of God. So every system that is out of line with heaven's government, before Jesus comes back, we're going to have to bring it back in line. Say amen to that. Now, when you go, understand that the enemy will try to make you negotiate. He is a negotiator. Now, God wants you to take all the land. He told Joshua, he said, Joshua, listen, from the Lebanon all the way to the river Euphrates, so forth, shall be your coast. And he said, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. In other words, if the land is out there, I want you to get it back. You see, we are going to reclaim what Jesus redeemed. And he redeemed the whole earth and put it back in the kingdom of God. Now, so here we go. Enemy is a negotiator. So what does he do with Moses? Moses is about to bring the children of Israel out of the promised land, out of Egypt. And as he's bringing them out, Pharaoh saw the power. So Pharaoh took another tack. He said, well, listen, let's talk about this. Come up to the negotiating table. He said, now, when you go, don't go very far. In other words, I want to be able to see y'all out there. What did Moses say? No. Say no.
No.
No. Not taking that. That's not what God promised me. He promised me healing.
Yes, sir.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
Then, what happened again? He went and negotiated again. He said, hey, I tell you what, when you go, leave your livestock here. What do you think Moses said?
No.
Then he went another time. And he said, Moses, you can go, but leave your children. Whoa. What?
No.
What happened? Church. Church, I tell you what we'll do for you. We'll let you have Christian schools over here, but leave the public schools.
No.
Folks, because we struck up that deal, those public schools, now they have to have metal detectors in them. There ain't no God in them anywhere. Come on now, come on. But something happened. David came back and saw that they had ravaged his camp while he and the men were away. And when he came back, they wept. And then David had to stir up himself. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? God says, I want you to do three things. Pursue, overtake, keep going, and recover all. I'm telling you, everything Satan stole from you that you don't even know about is about to come back to you. This is your season. Your frustration, your struggle is over. God is now going to manifest the sons of God through you. We're going to take back public schools. We're going to go in those prisons and set up boarding schools and vocational schools. We're going to take care of the orphans. And God bless you. I'm out of time. Give the God a praise. Now, sit down for just a moment. I ask you not to leave if you don't have to. We ain't took the offering up yet. Now, here's the deal. One of the things that happens with this is that God has you listening to me for a reason. I just read it in the Bible this afternoon. Jesus said, no one can come to him unless the Father has drawn him. So you couldn't have come this far if God wasn't in the plan. You see, he saw your condition. He saw your problem. He saw your situation. He saw how you've been bruised in life. And he's saying, come on home. He said, I'm going to give you a brand new start. And folks, with my life, here I was. I'd been in church when I was a kid, but how many of you know you can sit in church and church never be in you? Well, what happened to me? Got so bad, head over heels in debt, went to the doctor. The doctor gave me an evil report. Not only that, people trying to garnish my check. I mean, I'm in debt. I mean, one night went home and just, now all this time now I'm acting like nothing's wrong because I'm a great pretender. And that's where people are sitting up here today. You never know all that stuff was going on in their life. But what happened? I asked God, I said, Lord, would you please help me? And he sent somebody by my place at work. I don't know where she is even today. But she came by and said, hey, Bill, you want to go with me tonight? Now, I wasn't married. She looked good. I said, yeah. Amen. God knows how to get you to a meeting. He knows how to do that. What happened then? Walked, drove up to the, way up to the north side of Chicago. Walked in and drove up in a schoolyard, went in the auditorium, people holding their hands up, praising God. God turned around and hugged me and says, brother,